God bless you this morning, beloved, in the wonderful name, in the precious name of Jesus. The last devotion I did, I was talking about the darkness. And this scripture this morning, I was listening and just praying and seeking the Lord. And this scripture is so full, so packed with powerful truth in it. And yet I've never heard it one time ever preached in context, in any way, shape, or form, because its context is not at all exciting or good for our natural lives. And this is just more proof that what's being preached today, often, most often, doesn't have anything to do with the true message of the Bible or the true message of the cross. Because the natural man doesn't want to hear the true message of the Bible and the true message of the cross, which is actually what the Word of God said in the last days. People gather for themselves teachers to scratch their itching ears, to tell them what they want to hear. Adam will gather teachers around himself. He will pick and choose who he wants to listen to. He will find people who will tell him what makes him feel good, what makes him feel better about himself. That is what the modern, most of modern Christianity is. It is Adam, the first Adam, the enemy of God, who has adopted the scriptures but twisted them and manipulated them to make them appear as if God is for the life of the first Adam and wants to bless it. And he's here to make our dreams come true. And he's here to make us happy and successful. And it's all completely a lie. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, so powerful. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, which is what I was talking about in that previous devotion. But as you continue to read this Scripture, he says that we who have the life, those of us who live, if you look up that word, it's Zoe. Zoe, it's we have the Zoe of God. We have the life of Jesus in us. Every person who has the life of Jesus inside of them is constantly given over to death so that that life inside of them can be manifest. Man, this is the Word of God. Who in the world's preaching? Who even wants to hear something like that? You know, if you truly accept Jesus into your vessel, so to speak, into your spirit, then you are volunteering to be given over to death constantly, so that that life inside of you can be manifest on the out. Of course, nobody's going to preach that because people won't come to church and they won't give their tithe and they won't give their offering. And most of what today is Christianity is actually a money-making business. It's a business to attract Adam, and the more Adams we can attract, the more successful we are. And this is far, far, far from preaching the actual gospel that will actually cost you favor. It will cost you people liking you. It will cause you to be ostracized, to be rejected, to be hated. And eventually, if you preach it loud enough, it'll cause Adam to kill you, especially the ones that believe in God, because everything you say and do opposes what they believe and what they stand for. And if you'll really meditate on this scripture in context, oh my goodness, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has revealed the truth into our spirits. And therefore, we who have the life of Jesus, we are constantly being given over to death that the life may be made manifest. We bear in our bodies, in our natural bodies, we carry the dying of Jesus continually. Why? So that the life of Jesus can be manifest. Friend, this is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If you will believe in the truth of the cross and hate your own life and receive this life of Jesus Christ, you are volunteering because of what God is showing you, because of what is available in our eternity. You are volunteering for a life of suffering and difficulty, so that the life of Jesus Christ that's on the inside of you can be made manifest on the outside of you. If you don't face the dying, if you don't carry the death, then you cannot manifest the life, and you cannot see what God has actually done through the cross. That's what we were talking about last time in that message on facing the darkness. Why did God start our day? Our day begins in the darkest time of the day, at 12 a.m. In the book of Genesis, all the way from the beginning, there was night, there was darkness, and then there was light. And that was the first day. One day includes a season of darkness and a season of light. And it always starts in the darkness. And so if you really get in, meditate on this scripture right here, you actually see what it means to truly receive Jesus, to truly be born again, to truly walk in the life of God, is the exact opposite of what most huckster, I don't know the word to use for it, because I'm guilty. Every Adam wants to live. We want to survive. We want our life to be sustained. We want to thrive. And so our goal is to live. It's not to die. Our goal is to live. And we will fight to survive. And we will use God to sustain our own life. We will memorize the scriptures and pray and fast if it means that our life will be promoted, that our life will be blessed. This is what Saul learned, Saul of Tarsus, before he was named Paul. He learned. He was for himself. Of course he was. Everything he did, all of his zeal, all of his passion, was because he was Adam. He wanted God to bless his life. None of us are any different. All of his religion, all of his zeal, all of his passion, all of his works for God is because he wanted God to bless his life. That's what the old covenant said. Do what I say to do, God said, and I'll bless your life. Now, Paul didn't understand. Saul didn't understand at the time when he was trying to do God's will. He didn't understand why God had told them to do what I say and I'll bless your life. He did that to expose what their life is. It can't be blessed, friend. Even if it's blessed 99%, but it's cursed 1%, the whole thing is cursed. And so God wasn't trying to bless our life. He was trying to show us what it is so that we would be willing to hate it, abandon it, give it up, turn away from it. And if we're really going to say yes to Jesus, we're not going to do it in some big auditorium where people tell us, you know, God wants to bless your life and make your dreams come true. If we're really going to say yes to Jesus, we're going to do it when we are losing things. We're going to have to count the cost to really say yes to Jesus. This is what the life preached. This is what Jesus preached. If you want to follow me, you're going to lose everything. If you're not willing, if you don't hate everything else, you'll never be truly my disciple. This is what he preached. Because he knew that there was a cost. And it hasn't changed, friend, no matter what country you live in, no matter what time you live in, it's always the same. In this world, the message is always the same. There's no such thing as a season or a place you can live where you don't have to pay the price to believe in Jesus, friend. If you believe in Jesus, America is not a Christian country, no matter what people have told you, man. Go back and look at the history. There have been people that have claimed God for all kinds of things all down through history in every nation. But, friend, it's not what we think it is. We are not blessed in our nation because we are so godly and we are so righteous. We are on the top of the world because we are more powerful. We have more weapons. We have greed, ambition. I mean, all the whole American story of moving west, it was all ambition to gain for ourselves. That's what it's always been about. And oh my goodness, and we get all mixed up and all confused, and we twist this all with God. And even the American, where in the Constitution, where it says we have a right to pursue happiness. Think about that. Where is that in the Bible? You've got a right to, you know, what does that mean? It means every individual should be going after happiness in his own life. That is the opposite of what Jesus preached. If you're going to go after happiness, you're going to miss the kingdom of God. If you think God is here to bless your life, you don't understand the truth. Just read this one passage of Scripture, friend. These Scriptures are not for those people. They're for us. They're for every human, every person who's alive. Every single Scripture applies to them. You've got to see that all of these Scriptures are trying to reveal the same thing. And here we are, Paul explaining what it means to be a true bearer of the light. A true bearer of the light is someone always dying, is someone always carrying death. It's someone always being given over to trouble and pressure and darkness, and all kinds of things are going on so that the life can be manifest. Because when we are weakened, when we are broken, when we have no vitality and no strength left, God's strength is made perfect in us. Oh my goodness, there's nothing more clear in the Scriptures than that. That's not preached. People argue over what Paul's thorn is, but none of them actually preach what it really is. The thorn in the flesh is Paul explaining why God allows the enemy to attack us and he doesn't stop it. That's really what it is why doesn't God stop it? Because God's strength is made perfect when we are weakened in our natural man, when we are broken. God's strength is not manifested when we are strong, when we're on top of the mountain, when we're shouting Scripture verses, when we feel like our faith is strong. No, the natural man gets involved in that, and that's why the natural man begins to say, oh, God's here to bless my life. If God be for you, who could be? He's going to put me on the top. Praise God. And every bit of that is satanic lies, and it's coming out of the life that has fallen. It's coming out of darkness, and we don't even know we're doing it. We don't even realize it until God begins to open our eyes to the truth. And then we find out it's not when we are full of Scripture and when we're quoting and when we're feeling strong and when we're zealous and when we look so perfect to other people. That's not when we're strong. That's not when the strength of God is manifested. The strength of God is manifested when we're weak, when we're broken, when things aren't going right, when the enemy's attacking us. That's what Paul told the church at Galatia. Galatia, oh my goodness, the depth of the message that he preached in Galatia. You can see it in the book of Galatians when he's rebuking them for going back to the miserable, empty principles of the law that told us to be good so we can be blessed. He rebukes them, but when he rebukes them, he says, listen, the reason, you got to get this. Paul said to the Galatian church, if you go read, it's just a small book, you can go read it. He said, the reason I preached the gospel to you, the good news to you at first, was because of an infirmity, and an infirmity, mixing them up, were an infirmity, there it is, in my flesh. So Paul said, the reason I even preached it to you the very first time was because of the attack that I was going through in my own life. I shared the truth with you through my own suffering, an infirmity in my flesh. The enemy was attacking my body. I was going through deep troubles and pain and misery. And through that, I was able to preach to you the good news of the cross. Oh my goodness. You can't even really preach the truth to somebody until you go through the pain and the difficulties for that genuine truth to be exposed to your spirit. See, when you come before people broken, oh my goodness, I found out why Paul had to die. I found out why Saul had to die. When I am weak, then his strength is made perfect. And you begin to understand the true message of the cross. And then when you tell somebody, listen, if you love the life that you have, you're going to lose it. But if you hate it, you can gain his life, eternal life, the life of Jesus. Oh my goodness. And then you begin to really share the gospel. But the true gospel is not shared through excitement, through zeal, through all kinds of great dreams and visions of how what God's going to do for us, and how he's going to put us on the top, and how he's going to give us the victory, how he's going to give us the political victory, how he's going to give us the financial victories. Friend, every bit of that is Adam trying to live, the enemy of God trying to live, and he wants to use God to do it. Oh my goodness, may God give you eyes to see and ears to hear so that you are not duped and kept from the truth. Yes, I believe many people will be saved in their darkness. Many of us will be saved, but through pain and through misery is the only thing that will save us. Through destruction, through difficulty, many people, that's the only thing that will save them. But it would be much better. It would be much better for our eternity, not for our current state of being, but much better for our eternity to believe in the true message now and to begin to face the darkness and face the pain and carry the dying of Jesus so that in the end, and that's quick, friend, in just a few more days, you will be gone. He won't be here. In just a few more days, I won't be here. And everything we do here is short and momentary. It's just a second in eternity. And oh my goodness, how much greater would it be to suffer for 1 second to be blessed for all of eternity than to be blessed for 1 second and suffer in eternity? The loss of what we could have had. It doesn't mean every single person that doesn't understand is going to hell. God will use all kinds of things. The poor man laying at Lazarus' gate died with dogs licking his sores. He didn't die successful. But his pain and in his misery and in his struggle and in his suffering, somehow he found out the truth. And when he did die, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Praise the Lord for that. So if you're really going to receive this life called Jesus, receiving Jesus is not receiving somebody who wants to come in, help you and make your life better and put you on the top and give you success. He's not a genie. Amen. Jesus is not a genie. I'm making a joke, but it's really what we've turned him into. It's like receive Jesus and then you rub his belly and he'll give you what you want. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus was very hard to follow even when he was here. He was so hard to follow that everybody walked away when he looked at them and said, "You don't have anything in you of value unless you eat of me and drink of me. You have no life in you. You're dead. You're walking dead people. You have no life in you." Everybody turned and walked away. Jesus wasn't easy to follow, and he's still not. He's the same today, yesterday, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. He's not easy to follow. There are people preaching. There's one guy who wrote a book, Live Your Best Life Now, something like that. One of the greatest false teachers in the world right now. Your Best Life Now. I think that's the title of it. But basically, the entire thing is that God wants to bless your life and that quit, you know, trying to live for eternity. You know, live for now. That's basically the premise of it. That God wants to bless your life now. That he came so you could have a successful life. So you could be on the top. So you could be happy. So you could be successful. That's what the whole thing is. And people eat it up. New York Times bestseller. Christians making millions and millions of dollars writing these books. They get filthy rich. Because Adam wants somebody to tell him that God wants to make him successful. Adam wants somebody to lie to him and make him feel better. And so they go and buy these books by the millions. And these Christians, oh my goodness, the so-called Christians are getting fat and rich and prosperous off of lies, off of deception, off of tickling people's ears. But may God in heaven in Jesus' name raise up true preachers of the gospel, true bearers of the life who are constantly being given over to death, so that the life may be manifest. May God raise these up. How is God going to do that? It's not going to happen through some young man getting zealous about God. If that was the case, Saul of Tarsus would have been the prime person living for God, so to speak. That's not how it's going to happen. How is it going to happen? How is God going to raise up laborers who actually know the truth and who are willing to be given over to death continually, that the life may be manifest. If we look in the pattern of the scripture, the only way that that can happen is through suffering. It's through loss and through difficulty. We know that tribulation is coming, friend. I'm not talking about the great tribulation. I'm not arguing eschatology. We know for a fact, pressure, pain, tribulation, suffering is coming. And through that, through the failure, through the loss of what we have been lying to ourselves about, through our own failures, our own pain, our own difficulty, America's decline, different things like that happening. Many Christians are not really believing in God. They're believing in America. They're believing in a nation in the earth. They want God to bless America, just like they want God to bless their life. It's all about America. It's all about their life, which has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't even care about the natural Israel when he was here. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." The heavenly Jerusalem is what he's concerned about. And people get so twisted because they want Adam to survive. Man, I hope you got something right there. That was deep. But may God open our eyes. Friend, America is not God's chosen nation. The natural Israel is not God's chosen nation. It's the spiritual. God's kingdom is not of this world. You can see it working in the nations. You can see it working in people's lives. But the truth of the matter is, friend, God's not here to bless our life and to bless our country and to make us successful and prosperous and happy. The truth of the matter is, he's here to show us what all this junk is and get us to a place where we don't want it, where we hate it, and where we are willing to be bearers of his death, carrying around the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made plain, may be made manifest, may be exposed in us. Obviously, you can tell why I'm doing these messages on an app for what I call a few people. I'm doing these messages on an app for a few people because, friend, there's no congregation. When God told me to stop pastoring, I had no clue what he was trying to show me. There is no congregation in this country that's going to listen to what I'm saying. And it's going to pay the bills and keep the lights on, friend. It's not going to happen. Why? Because this is not what people want to hear. It's not being preached. If it is, please show me where so I can listen, because I need it. Amen. Every now and then I hear some stuff coming out that's decent, that's really challenging, that's really has some truth in it, but it's very few and far between. I believe we are in a deep, dark famine right now when it comes to hearing the Word of God, that there's almost nobody. There are some, and even people that aren't really preaching the full gospel, there are some that are sincere. Saul of Tarsus was proclaiming the truth. The scriptures are true. He was preaching the truth. He just didn't really get it. And so he wasn't really representing the full picture. And that's what we have today all over the world. But we are in a famine right now, a deep, dark famine for the true message of the cross. And it is very, very difficult to find a true message that's not tainted with Adam's desire to thrive and survive. It's very, very difficult not to find the God. It's not to find that twist on it, that deception in it. Oh, goodness, God help us. But as we look at the scripture today, friend, I'm going to wrap this up here. As we look at this scripture today, we can really see a big picture here. God commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts the marvelous truth, the light of Jesus Christ. And through this darkness, through the darkness, through seeing the truth, through understanding reality, now we bear in our bodies the dying of Jesus all the time. We carry around the dying. We are always being given over to death. What kind of death? What was Jesus constantly being given over to when he was here? Jesus didn't want what men wanted. He was constantly giving up what men wanted. And the more he told the truth, the less people wanted to hear it. In the beginning, many people gathered around because of the power. because of the miracles, because of the signs. Many people gathered around. But the more Jesus told the truth, the more Jesus said what he heard the Father say, the less Adam wanted to hear it. Until eventually everybody walked away from him, and then he was crucified by the life of Adam. That's what it cost him. If we are carrying that same thing, it's going to cost us the same thing. The more we hear the truth and say what the Father says, the more Adam will hate us, and eventually Adam will kill us. That he will do what if he's not hating us and he's not killing us, it's because we are not walking in the life of Jesus. Modern Christianity presents a Jesus that is so kind and compassionate toward our life. Who wouldn't like him? But that's not the real Jesus. It's not the truth. We try to present a Jesus that's acceptable, that people want. We present a Jesus that loves your life and wants to bless it. Not a Jesus who tells you you're all the same thing and you're all going to perish, lest you truly repent and see the truth. Acknowledge it and eat of me. You will never see the Father. This is not the Jesus. We don't preach the Jesus who talked about the gate is narrow and very few find the way. Very few find. We don't preach that kind of Jesus. We preach a Jesus that loves you and, oh, God created you in his image. And oh, my goodness, there's such a humanism, psychology. Freud, his name's real close to fraud, has crept into the church. Not crept, friend, it did creep in the beginning. Now it's full-fledged. As a matter of fact, almost every church now is turning more to psychology, more to therapy, more to the science of how to overcome our struggles than they are the truth, because they haven't had the truth for so long. What they have had doesn't really work. I better close that can. I'll open up a whole nother devotion. So in Jesus' name, beloved, I pray that God will give you the grace to not only hear and understand, but to believe and to enter into what God has paid for us to have. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. It's going to be difficult. And you've got to count the cost. You've got to count the cost. Do you really want the true gospel? Because it will cost you everything. But may God give us the grace to say yes and to see what it really is. But I think, friend, let me close with this, the only way, and it's sad, but the only way that we're ever really going to understand the truth is when we understand the darkness. The only way we're going to be able to comprehend the light is when we really finally begin to see the darkness. And then the light will shine out of the darkness. What is the darkness? The darkness is all of us are wicked. We are all workers of iniquity. We all had to die. We must decrease, but he must increase. The darkness is seeing what we are. The darkness is seeing what our offspring is. The darkness is finding out that Adam is an enemy of God. The darkness is seeing, no matter how hard we try, we cannot produce anything that's righteous. Oh, man. It's a dark thing to begin to see, to begin to understand how dark it is and how depressing it can be. Because all of our dream, everything we live for, our motivation to live comes from the belief that my life can be better, that my life can be good, that God loves my life. That's our motivation to move, to get up. Whenever God begins to show you the truth, it takes the natural man's motivation away. The natural man is no longer motivated to get up. The natural man is no longer motivated to work, to strive. Why? Because he knows there's nothing in it for him. Oh, my goodness. And now you've got to find your strength in God, because it's no longer there. It's no longer in your natural abilities. It's no longer in your zeal and your effort. And you begin to find out his strength is made perfect in your weakness. And the more you believe and the more you accept, the weaker often your natural man becomes, but the more the life begins to manifest. Oh, hallelujah. May God continue to open our eyes in Jesus' name. God bless you today, beloved. This is not all dark. There's encouragement. The encouragement is, friend, we're here for 1 second. We are here for 1 second. One day at a time. It won't take long, and we'll all be gone. I'm seeing people dying all over the place, friend. We're next. You know, our life does not last long. It's just a breath, a sigh, a moment. It's what Job began to understand. It's what God's trying to show us, friend. This life is nothing. It's just a second, a drop, a millisecond in eternity. And it's so we can choose and believe and find out and understand so that we can be seated with Him, so that we won't fall in the eternal kingdom of God. We will fully grasp and understand the truth and constantly yield and desire the life of Jesus Christ rather than our own. Praise the living God. God bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.